Now that we know it'll be Democrats running the House and Republicans running the Senate, what does that do to the Trump administration's economic agenda? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Yes, the next 2 years, it'll be what's called divided government in Washington, despite some long lines, broken machines, and bad weather in some places. Voter turnout broke records for a midterm election. Top concerns, according to Associated Press surveys of voters, were health care and immigration. I'm joined now live by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in our Washington Bureau. Kimberly, what were the big economic concerns driving voters to the polls?
Well, healthcare, David, that top issue, it really is an economic issue. Lots of voters were very concerned about the rising costs of healthcare premiums, coverage for pre-existing conditions. But it really, the economy kind of took a back seat in this election because two-thirds of people say that the economy is excellent or good. And about 19% of voters did say that the economy was their top issue.
Now, some big economic stories we've covered during the campaign didn't seem to matter as much to voters' decision making.
Right. Remember, lots of people thought that Republicans would be able to make the economy the top issue because we have such low unemployment. We're starting to see rising wages. Markets are doing well, but that didn't seem to be the case in terms of grabbing voters' attention. The ongoing trade war also didn't seem to matter that much, with Farm Belt states that may be feeling the brunt of retaliatory tariffs not necessarily punishing Trump or the GOP broadly. And Republicans were probably hoping to spend a lot more time talking about their tax cuts rather than immigration, another big topic in the campaign, especially given the way the president was shaping that narrative.
All right. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thank you. Now to Ian Bremmer, founder and president of the Eurasia Group, a political risk consultancy. Thanks for connecting, Ian.
David, my pleasure.
All right. Let's go through some possible effects. Under fast track authority, both the House and Senate have to approve treaties. What happens to, let's say, the NAFTA overhaul, this USMCA, they call it?
Because it's a tweak and because so many in the House on both Democratic and Republican parties would be negatively impacted if it blows up because of major trade with both the Canadians and the Mexican supply chain and the rest, I actually think that this is going to be unimpacted by the elections.
Does it affect the trade war with China?
There it does, to the extent that Trump feels increasingly besieged at home with all of the investigations coming against him. We know that Trump responds to that in only one way, which is escalation. Certainly, to the extent that he's looking for enemies, China is one of those places. I don't think that has a big impact on the big upcoming meeting Trump's going to have with Xi Jinping, but I think the potential stickiness of any outline agreement between the two leaders is going to be under more threat.
Now, a divided Congress, this is being seen this morning as a test of whether the leaders of this new Congress can find some, any, maybe common ground. Now, Ian, I don't turn to you for Pollyanna quotes about politicians embracing each other in a public-spirited sense of bipartisanship. You're a real politique man, but might the House and Senate now work together on something?
No. I really do believe that the level of division in the United States comes through very strongly with what just happened, more of the pro-Trump Republicans succeeding, more of the stronger progressive Democrats succeeding, two parties that look increasingly broken, and a lot of anti-establishment sentiment in both sides. I think 2020 looks really fractious, and to the extent that Trump wants to get things done, like Obama, he's going to be going to executive order.
Ian Bremmer founded the Eurasia Group, which fields platoons of political scientists to analyze the world and explain it to corporate clients. Ian, thank you.
David, talk to you soon.
Given all this, let's check markets. U.S. stock index futures are up this morning, 0.8% for the S&P future, up 1.1% for the NASDAQ future. Some of the bond markets seem to be betting that the new Congress might not cut taxes further. The presumption of not quite as much federal borrowing, maybe one reason interest rates are down this morning, 3.19% on the 10-year yield. The dollar is down with the euro at about $1.15. The Fed meets today with no change in interest rates expected.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Google and Facebook joined the creator of the World Wide Web this week to sign on to principles for how the internet should work. This includes a pledge to respect users' personal data and fight information abuses, even though those companies have pushed back on regulations to that effect. Marketplace's Ben Bradford has more on this contract for the web.
Tim Berners-Lee created the World Wide Web, but this week at a conference in Lisbon, he lamented its unintended consequences.
We have fake news. We have problems with privacy.
Advocate Christine Bannon at the Electronic Privacy Information Center says Google and Facebook have resisted regulation, and she expects little action, even though the companies have signed on to Berners-Lee's principles, which are vague.
I think that Google and Facebook will claim to be following them no matter what.
Both face lawsuits alleging they've skirted new European privacy rules. But Berkeley professor Deirdre Mulligan says pressure from regulators and advocates and employees is forcing companies to reconsider how they handle information.
I think we have like this confluence of energy saying, hey, you haven't been attentive.
The contract could add to public pressure. Berners-Lee himself suggested his pact isn't just about enforcing new data rules, but changing attitudes about them. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And back to the election results. Some ballot measures we'd covered. In Maine, a bid to raise taxes to pay for free home health care aides for the elderly and the disabled appears headed for defeat. San Francisco voters did approve a tax on big companies to pay for services for the homeless. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.